How's life?
Great. How are you?
I'm not bad. I'm
busy.
Yeah, gearing up for it, really. It's that thing where we're, because, you know, you finish X Factor and then Christmas comes along really quickly and you have a couple of little meetings about the NTAs and you do a little bit of scripting. And then London seems to shut down for 2 weeks and no one does anything for 2 weeks. And then you come back and then before you know it, it's now.
It's here. Yeah. It's arrived. You're a dab hand at it, though, at this stage, really.
6 years in, I suppose. Yeah. So you sort of, I mean, you never really get used to those big gigs at the O2 and Wembley and stuff. But I guess as much as you can, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, just I suppose looking back over the years, you've done it for a few years now. Are there any kind of standout moments? What have been your favourite moments from
the interview? There was two, three. I always like it when stuff goes wrong. It's 2 or 3 years ago when there was sadly an accident in Blackpool Tunnel, which meant no one was there when we started the show. So the audience was about a third full for about the first part. And none of the citation, everyone was late. I don't know why they just don't boat them in. I mean, it's on the river. It makes so much sense. The citation readers were late. And so we had to sort of kind of just mind sweep. So I remember poor Russell Kane, who was just there on a jolly, about two parts in. Someone went upstairs to the ITV box, walked in, just looked around anyone famous they could find because there was no one to give awards away. Hoisted poor Russell out there. Who, you know, was a little one over the eighth, shall we say. And then as he walked on stage, you know, I said, so, you know, here to make the prison. Me and my writer were just literally just writing on spec as we go between the breaks going, who's next? Russell. Okay. So, you know, writing intros to Russell. Russell walks out and as he turns to me, he just goes, I'm so drunk. Yeah, everyone was drunk because everyone was there just on a jolly having a really nice night. And then, you know, before they know it, they had to present awards. That's the beauty of it.
Well,
only live telly.
150 limos are being laid on, apparently. So
Just get the boat. It's the easiest way to the O2. Don't worry about the car. Just get the boat.
There's fierce competition this year, isn't
there? Yeah, there is.
Especially in the TV talent show category.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is, in a strange way, is we've been favourite for that in the past, I suppose. And I'd say now that Strictly are probably favourites for it, which in a weird way takes the pressure off. But is Lord and Masters going to be in the auditorium this year? And you never want to lose when he's around.
No, definitely not.
No.
That would not be a good reaction.
No, because the thing is, what I love about Simon is he, of course, you know, he's actually, he's not gracious in defeat either.
Bad loser,
oh, man,
I'd imagine.
A bad loser. And I love that because it matters to him. And he doesn't want to lose to Strictly.
And
and he doesn't want to lose to Cheryl.
I was just about to say, best TV judge, he's up against Cheryl.
Oh, man, it'd be marvellous if he loses to Cheryl. It would be hilarious.
Are you secretly, well, obviously you're publicly rooting for Cheryl. You really want Cheryl to win.
I tell you, don't discount Berry.
Yeah, I know.
That is a tough category. It's a new category. So David Williams, who's obviously so brilliant on BGT, Simon, Cheryl and Mary Berry. But Mary Berry, you know, you have to hold your hand up and say that Bake Off was the biggest show of last year. So she could do it.
So, like, when everybody's arriving, they're being really polite and nice to each other, but secretly they're like,
I suppose it's that little thing where, unless you're up against that in deck and you know you're not going to win, which is the age-old conversation I have with Keith Lemon, there's always a little inkling, I guess, that you might. But it is a, you know, if you're in this game for trinkets, then you're in the wrong game. You know, it's working is the big success.
Yeah, well, I mean, you are up against Anton Deck, and I'm rooting for you, Dermot.
Thank you.
I'm going to say that.
Thank you.
Put it out there.
It will be a socially awkward moment if I win, though, because that's the thing. You've got two-thirds of an award show still to do, so you can never properly appreciate the moment, I suppose. I'd get the award and then have to put it down and probably give it to Anton Deck for safekeeping and then carry on doing a job.
Like,
they're so good. That's the thing. And so every year I always get asked the same question. Oh, are you going to be Anton Deck? They're so good at what they do, and they're friends. So yeah, you can never begrudge them for it.
But you're so brilliant at what you do, and I think you deserve it this year.
Oh, thanks.
I really do. If you win the award, where would you put it? Where would it live in your house?
Quite phallic. I mean, that's the one thing I'd say about the Thomas Fattorini who sculpts it. It's a beautiful looking award, but it's quite prominent.
In the bedroom, then?
No, there's enough of that in the bedroom. Let me, or not. No. So I would probably put it in. I've got a little study, so probably go in there.
It wouldn't go.
If I'm honest, I'd probably give it to my mum.
How important are awards to you?
They're not yeah. important. They can't be important, because that way lies madness. If you're, you know, as I said to you, if you're dictated by whether you, you know, getting the contract and doing the work and all those things, and I know that's such a cliched answer, but it is true. It's, you know, longevity in this career is your reward. And, it's, you know, we live in this, work in this career that doesn't, you know, you don't retire, it Absolutely. Retires you. So I'd be lying if I said I'm not over the moon that I've been nominated for any award. It's always nice to get it, and it's a nice little validation. But your happiness can't stand or fall on it.
Very wise words.
Yeah.
What are you most looking forward to about the NTAs?
After show.
Honest answer. Love it.
I love stepping out and seeing who's there. I love seeing upsets. I love seeing people get awards that haven't got awards before. Because it's a huge night, and you forget that as you 6 years in, and you know, it's a 2-hour show, so we give a lot of awards away. You forget how important these awards are to people, or what, you know. Not that, like I said, not that their happiness stands or falls on it, but it is important to people, and if I was to win one, I'd be over the moon. So I get it. It's a great night, and it's lovely to see people win one for the first time. You know, especially, well, obviously the newcomers win it for the first time, but when a show. So, for example, last year, Educating Yorkshire won, and it was just a really lovely moment in the room.
Is there anyone that you'd love to see win this year that stands out for you?
I mean, Gogglebox has been the show everyone's talking about, so it wouldn't surprise me if Gogglebox won. And I think the actor category is so strong this year.
It really is.
Yeah.
So, Dermot, the last time we spoke, it was about your book, Sam Chat to My Life, which had just come out.
Yeah.
How's that going? Is it selling well?
Loved it. I really loved it. Yeah, I did it up to sort of, it's incredible how much promo you do when you do a book. You started writing it this time last year, delivered it about July. I didn't forget about it as such, but thought that's kind of it now. I might have to do a couple of radio and a couple of talk shows. And then you realise that there's a whole tour that goes with it, where you go off and you sign and so for the last sort of 4 or 5 months of last year, it was between radio, X Factor, and off doing that. So it was mental. But I loved doing it. Really enjoyed doing it.
I saw you tweeting, actually, that loads of Irish. There was definitely a type of person that was buying your book. It made me laugh out loud. What was it you said?
Proper second-gen Irish that were buying it. You know, the Paddy's Army, yeah. But the lovely thing was that made me feel like it worked in many ways, though, because it was the first 10 chapters are really about first 5 or 6 chapters are really about growing up Irish over here to an Irish family. And so the fact that it resonated with sort of, you know, people with similar experiences was lovely.
And you're a junior. I didn't know that, actually. I was doing a bit of research on you.
I am and I'm not. I'm not really a junior. My dad was, or still is, Sean Joseph or John Joseph over here. And I'm Sean Dermot, so-ish.
Love it. Right. Okay, I'm going to play a little game with you very quickly.
Yeah.
So just on that kind of note, the soundtrack to my life, I'm going to give you some people and I want you to tell me off the top of your head what song comes to mind.
Okay.
Interesting little game, isn't
it?
Kind of, it really was inspired by your book.
Thanks.
So, Simon Cowell.
Simon Cowell. Well, I have to say it would be Mac the Knife, because I can't think of... I think it's his favourite swing song, and it gets and because it's his favourite swing song, someone in his category has to do it every year, and so I can't think of that song now without thinking of him.
Brilliant. Okay, Davina McCall.
Davina McCall. Okay, that's a good question. Davina McCall. What should we say for Davina? I'm trying to think of something with mother in the title, because she's just a.
Is there a song that reminds you of Davina?
Yes, sorry. She used to do, when All the Single Ladies came out, Davina, I think they played it on One Big Brother and she danced to it. So yeah, that'd be it.
Brilliant. Thierry Henry.
Thierry Henry is, of course we have the official Thierry Henry song, which is Thierry Henry, Thierry Henry, Thierry Henry, Thierry Henry at Arsenal. but it lacks slight imagination, I understand, but that's a modern football fan for you.
Okay. Matt Lucas?
Well...
I'm really testing you here, aren't
no.
I?
No. Matt Lucas, I went to see the cup final with Matt Lucas, and when Arsenal make the cup final, we always sing a song called She Wore a Yellow Ribbon.
Brilliant. Anne and Deck.
And that we're the champions.
Really? Cheryl Fernandez Frassini.
Fight for this love, always. Oh. I know it's hers, but I can't. Sometimes when she walks into a room, it plays in my head.